The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
Welcome, listeners, to Bruin Radio Interviews, an hour-long interview show brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School.
This is Bruin News. I'm McLean Westbrook.
And I'm Gage Westbrook.
And we're here with candidate for Curry County Commissioner, Christopher Pash.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
We'd like to ask, what is your Chetco Bar Fire story?
Well, because I live in Gold Beach, I wasn't directly affected by the fire itself, but our ranch was affected with, of course, the smoke and everything from the fire. We also volunteered the ranch for services to take people in, and we didn't actually get any people that came and stayed on our ranch, but we did have horses and some goats, I think, came. My wife took care of all of that at the time, but I think we had 10 or 15 horses and some goats that were brought to the ranch from the evacuation zone.
That's very nice. The Curry Coastal Pilot reported that a Christopher Pash donated metal art and was serving as an auctioneer, presumably to support victims of the Chetco Bar Fire. Could you tell us a bit about this?
Well, what happened is the Kingston Trio was brought in as by some people here locally, and they were going to do a show up in Gold Beach, and that was going to be the proceeds of that were going to be donated to victims of the Chetco Bar Fire. I was called and asked if I would MC it, and I agreed to do that. And I also, through our foundation, have a full working metal fabrication shop at my ranch. And I have a CNC plasma machine that produces metal art. And we took some of the artwork that we do through the foundation and donated that to silent auctions at that event that evening. And we donated all the proceeds of that to the Curry fire victims.
Why were you contacted specifically to MC this event?
We have a great history with the Curry Fairgrounds. We've used it several times through our foundation. And I know the management team there, and we've always donated to things like Chetco Bar Fire and other needs in the county. So we automatically got involved. We were called and asked to get involved, and of course we wanted to get involved. So we volunteered at that time.
That's very nice. Could you tell us a bit about the moment you decided to run for Curry County Commissioner?
I actually woke up in a cold sweat one morning.
It struck me like a bolt of lightning.
That's basically it. I don't have an exact moment. I've had a lot of friends over the last few years ask me if I would get more involved in local government and actually state government. And you know, we did make a run 2 years ago, and we were unsuccessful. So when this seat came up, I was asked again to run, and I volunteered to do it.
A May 20th, 2016 article by Jane Stebbins in the Curry Coastal Pilot about the 2016 election reported that after votes were tallied, you announced that you probably wouldn't run again. Is this report accurate, and if so, what changed?
Yes, it is accurate. I think what changed the most is the state of the county didn't improve. I was hopeful to see some improvement with two new commissioners that were elected. And I think the county still remains stagnant, and there are some very, very serious issues in the county that need to be dealt with, and they need to be dealt with now. So that made my decision very clear that I would continue and run again.
Could you tell us a bit about your run for commissioner in 2016?
Well, we knew we couldn't win in 2016. A lot of people in the North County knew us through the foundation, knew my wife Bonnie and I, but I think everyone knows that the county government seats usually go through Brookings Harbor because that's where the vast population is for the county. So what we wanted to do in 2016 was just get our name out there, You know, we put the signs up down here and everything. Let everyone down here that didn't know who we were know who we are and get more involved in the community. It also gave us a couple of years to get our feet in, get involved in community activities in South County, and make some friends down here.
You said you didn't see the state of the county improve. How do you view the current state of the county?
I want to say I view the state of the county, without sounding horribly negative, dire. It's a very serious word. But I think if we look at the current situation, if it wasn't for the road funds in the county would have already had to file for bankruptcy. And there are some serious consequences if that happens. Mostly the dissolution of a lot of the county services that run the county and the protection for the citizens of the county.
What are some policies you would hope to create to change the path that the county is on?
Well, I think there's a lot of wasted time in county government right now. There's been a lot of hour after hour after hour of trivial things that are happening in board meetings, if you've watched them, like quorum rules and travel policy rules and these kind of things. And the major issues of the county aren't being addressed, how we pay our bills, how we get revenue sources brought into the county. It seems like there's more focus on how you're going to be talked to in a meeting than how you're going to fund the sheriff's department and the jail.
What are some policies you would like to repeal that you feel are ineffective or counterproductive?
Well, one of the things that's happening now in a lot of the Curry County meetings is you're hearing a lot about travel policy and travel budgets. A commissioner's job is to be out in the county doing the county's business. And when I hear a 40-minute dissertation from commissioners about how someone went, you know, $40, $30 over on their travel budget for the month, or they don't have a travel budget, or it's been cut. These are things that's just part of doing business in the county. So I think travel policies, and just off the top of my head, another big issue for me is quorum rules. I don't know if the public knows what a quorum is. If there's three commissioners, those commissioners have to be seated for a quorum. Two commissioners cannot get together and have a cup of coffee in the morning and talk about the county's business. It's against the law. All three of those commissioners have to be there, or two of them, and a public meeting. Can you imagine being partners with someone in business and you can't talk to your business partner about your business? It's against the law. Those laws are written into the state of Oregon, and they're going to be hard to get around. But as a commissioner, there are ways to do it. And I would make a suggestion, let's just all have morning coffee every morning and open it to the public. But we need to discuss the county's business on a daily basis.
Do you believe that you are the best candidate for commissioner that is currently running?
I guess the short answer to that is the public will decide that.
And what will you bring to the table as a county commissioner that your competitors won't have?
I don't know if I can define my competitors, but what I will say I will bring to the table is honesty, is truth, my word is my word, and hard work. I don't want to be a part-time commissioner. I don't think that you can run a county this size, you know, 4 hours a week sitting at a computer desk at your house. This is a job that requires focus, it requires hard work, it requires commitments from a commissioner. And if I give my word at an election that I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there.
Given the commitment involved in being a Curry County Commissioner, how would that affect your other job and commitment, such as your foundations and your metalworks?
Well, the metalwork was a hobby that we did. Yeah. And it's basically done through the foundation, and I have stepped aside from that. My wife and I are the founding directors of Dreams, Hope, and Faith Foundation. But I have stepped away from the day-to-day work of the foundation itself because I am fully committed to this now, already before the election. I also have Pash Auto, which is a small car lot in Gold Beach as well, which takes up some of my time. But That is something that probably only takes up 2 or 3 days a month of full-time work. So I am, if elected, I'm going to turn that over to my wife to run that as well. Hmm.
Can you tell us about your involvement with the Dreams, Hope, and Faith Foundation?
About 10 years ago, my wife and I, for the last 20 or so years of our lives, were thoroughbred horse trainers, breeding, training, and racing. And we were fortunate enough to train and race some of the best thoroughbreds in the world. About 10 years ago, we decided to step away and retire from horse racing and came up to Gold Beach, Curry County, and bought the old Wedderburn Ranch. And we decided to create a foundation for children that have had, some of them have had some pretty rough starts to their lives. We've had a lot of kids from Brookings, from Harbor, from Gold Beach, from Curry County and surrounding counties come to the foundation. We have equine training and horse riding, equine care. We have horticulture, greenhouse, growing. We also have a full working metal fabrication shop and a wood shop. And those are basically run because we don't get a lot of donations to help run the foundation. Those are run by, like our wood shop, it has a retired master carpenter that volunteers his time to young people to come up and learn how to run wood lathes and, you know, do that kind of carpentry work. We also have some fabricators from Freeman Marine and another gentleman that's retired fabricator. And they work with young people, teaching them welding skills, TIG welding, MIG welding, how to run different kinds of metal saws, how to grind, how to, you know, do all metal fabrication work. So that's basically what the foundation is about. And to watch some of the kids that we've had in the foundation come through, some of the ones that we had that were 8, 9 years old when they came and admittedly were extremely difficult, that are now certified welders at Freedom and Marine, that are carpenters in the building industry in Curry County, that hold good jobs now, and are now junior leaders at our foundation to show the new kids they were once them and there is a way out.
How did you get the idea to create the foundation?
I will give all the credit to that to my wife, Bonnie. She never had any kids. I was married once previously, but to Bonnie, and she was never married. And because of my history of cancer and some of the treatments that I had to go through, we decided not to try and have any children, but she always wanted kids. So we were going to look to adopt. And when we looked into adoption, there were so many kids in the adoption agencies that just wanted us a place to go and do something. We decided to do it on a little broader spectrum and not adopt, but to start the foundation. And that was her baby.
How has your leadership of this foundation prepared you for a position as county commissioner?
I think life's experiences prepare you for different jobs. My life's experience in several different things have prepared me for a job to be able to sit and be a commissioner. I can't say that there's one thing like the foundation that prepared me for that.
You mentioned before that you had a auto lot in Gold Beach. Can you expand upon your role in that business?
Well, there again, it was something that actually started as a hobby. I'm a lifelong student, so I like to learn things. And I've always had had an itch to want to know more about cars. I was lucky enough to actually know the Granatelli Racing family and be involved with them for several years. So when I moved up here, winters are long and wet here. So in the shop, we decided to start messing around and doing some work with cars, and that sparked my itch to start going to auctions and watching how auctions run. And I wanted to make sure that I did everything legally, so I went ahead and got my dealer's license. And we just started buying a couple of cars out of auctions to put them on a lot to sell to help fund the foundation. And that's how it all started.
So do most of the proceeds of your auto business go to the foundation?
I won't say most, but some do, yes. We donate a percentage of all of our proceeds to the foundation.
And this is more of a question that I wanted to have answered. What kind of cars do you sell?
Basically every phase. I've got a car up there right now that's 12 years old and got 190,000 miles on it that I'm selling for $2,500. And I've got another one up there that's 2 years old, got 20,000 miles on it that I'm selling for $20,000. So everything in between.
How long have you been involved in politics?
I haven't. I'm not a politician. I've been around a lot of people that are politicians. I've been around a lot of people. Matter of fact, the mentor in my life was around a lot of politicians, and through him, I was around a lot of politicians for a long time. But I myself am not a politician.
What does it mean to be a politician to you, and what do you think a politician's duties are?
Again, I think I'll answer your second question first. I think duty is honesty and fairness. I'm not always being the smartest person in the room. Being willing to listen to people and use their ideas if they're better than yours, if they make more sense. And I guess that would also go to what a politician is. A politician is someone that can find the middle of the road no matter what. They're not going to have their own self agendas. They're not going to be easily swayed. They're not going to do the favors for people because they feel like they're owed. They're going to do what's right for the public, for the general public all the time, not for one particular person.
Do you believe that you're the best equipped among the commissioners running to handle such matters and be able to compromise, especially when there's a political topic with a heavily divided opinions and bases?
Well, again, I think that I can't speak for the other candidates. I really don't know too much about the other candidates other than, passing handshakes and hellos for the most part. I've had lunch with a couple of the other candidates and I've done some work with one of the candidates. But again, I don't think I know them well enough to judge who would be the best. All I can say is I know who I am.
Naturally, with any campaign, there will be campaign signs, and we've noticed some of your signs being placed outside of the Republican Party building in Harbor. How do you feel about the location for that sign?
I'm actually the person that got down in the trench and hung all the signs.
Oh.
I don't have a staff that goes out and do this. I'm one of those guys that'll get in the mud and work with you. So I'm the guy that actually pounded those signs in the ground, and what I've done is I've called different places in Brookings and Gold Beach and Port Orford, Langlois, Harbor, and asked for permission to put signs in different places, and have gotten permission, so I went ahead and did it.
You said that you are willing to get down in the mud and help with your own campaign. Who do you have directly helping you with your campaign, if anybody?
I would say I probably do most of it. Steve Byerlin, who was Court Boyce's campaign manager when Court ran last time and is now running again for Congress, has been assisting me with my campaign, giving me some advice. But for the most part, it's been myself.
Hmm. Could you tell us about your electpash.com website?
Thanks for asking that, firstly. My daughter, Amber, is probably one of the smartest young ladies I know. She has just finished her PhD studies and is working at UCSF in California. And when I mentioned to her that I was going to run again for commissioner, she immediately volunteered to do the website, asked me a bunch of questions, took a bunch of pictures, and 3 hours later called me up and said, "Okay, Dad, it's up and running." Oh. And if you go on it and see it, it's kind of an amazing website for 3 hours of work.
The My Story portion of your website states that there has been an incredible amount of waste in our local government, and I will stop it. Can you give us an example of the waste you're referring to, and what is something a commissioner can do to stop that waste?
Well, I want to say that I don't only consider waste financial. There's a lot of wasted time. Like I spoke of earlier, we've got a lot of wasted time in arguments about how to address people, how to file for a speaking, and how you're going to speak to commissioners. And if you don't do this or you don't do that, we're going to ring the bell and slap the desk and you're going to be out of here. There's a lot of wasted talent with the last several years of the commission. We've lost some extremely talented people in the county by making some of the cuts that we made that I think were very wasteful. We don't have an economic development department in the county. How do you run a county without having economic development? How do you bring outside business investment into a county if people don't even know you're a thriving community? These are things that I know some ladies that were let go in our county offices that were valid, very talented, that I would have definitely found other spots for and looked for other ways to pay for their positions. If there were financial shortfalls in their division, I would have found other ways to pay for it.
So what do you know about the South Coast Development Council?
I don't know a lot about them. I believe, though, that they are a economic development council that has been set up as an outsourced economic development department, and we use their resources as needed.
Your website states you believe we owe something to our veterans and that you want to offer incentives to local employees to hire veterans. What kind of incentives can the county offer, and how does this relate to your experience with the Marine Corps?
I think there's a lot of ways we can give incentives. You know, a lot of people automatically think tax breaks or some kind of county favor. I think anyone that hires a vet should be proud that they hired a vet. I think possibly the county could put on their website, this business hired one vet this week, this month. We could do some kind of an arrangement with the newspapers, with local radio, free advertisement for Ace Hardware hired two vets this month. Go visit your Ace Hardware and say hello. Those kind of things. That's a free advertisement for a business. It's praising them for doing something that's needed, because a lot of vets seem to be getting left out of the jobs.
Was your stance on veterans entering the workforce influenced by your own experiences in the Marines when you got out?
I don't say specifically on my experiences, but I've watched over years how military people are mistreated sometimes. My entire family, I come from an extremely military, patriotic family. My entire family went in the military, including my sisters. I'm a Vietnam veteran. Although I was given the pin, I don't claim to be an active veteran of the Vietnam War because I never served in Nam itself. I think that should be something for hallowed ground for men and women that served actually in Vietnam. My oldest brother, Greg, served in Vietnam. When he came back from Vietnam, he was spit on in the airports for going to war and fighting that war. As many of you may remember, there was a large movement against that war. It wasn't his doing. He was ordered to do it, and he did his job. For years, because they were Vietnam veterans, they couldn't find jobs. They couldn't find good jobs because they were looked down upon for going over and killing people in a war, in the Vietnam War, which all they were doing is what they were ordered to do, rather than running to Canada.
Your website also states that you believe in protecting ourselves by supporting our sheriff's department. In what ways is our sheriff's department not being currently supported? What kind of policies do you want to create to support our sheriff's department?
I think John Ward would be the guy to tell you more of how it's not being supported. I noticed that we're constantly losing good deputies. John goes through all the training programs with them, gets them trained, gets them certified. 6 months or a year after they're certified, they're offered a better job in another county, because the pay in this county for county sheriffs is about $7,000 to $10,000 annually less than the average. And some counties are even offering more than that. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done with the sheriff's department.
And I think there's even more work that needs to be done with the county jail. We all use the resources of the county jail, all of the, you know, Brookings, Harbor, Gold Beach, all of the towns and cities use the resources of the jail, and it's a dilapidated mess. It needs to be completely remodeled, brought up to date, and we need to, not only through the county, but through the cities, find ways to fund that.
What is your relationship with Sheriff Ward?
I've met John back when John Bishop was the sheriff here. John was one of his lieutenants. He came to the property with John Bishop several times, asked us to use our property for search and rescue practice and that kind of stuff, which we absolutely allowed to happen. We've always tried to have a good relationship with the sheriff's department, as well as Chris here in Brookings and all the city police departments. You know, we own a large piece of property, and we also deal with a lot of kids that have issues. So we have to have a working relationship. I also have a relationship with Jay Trust in the juvenile department. So we have to have those kind of relationships with law enforcement, because we ask them to come to our ranch sometimes. I'll ask the sheriff's department to come to the ranch and meet some of the kids and let kids know, don't run from us, run to us. We have to have a good relationship with police departments, not a fearful one.
Your website also states that you believe Curry County needs private sector jobs and local business investment. Further, that commissioners need to reach out to bring business here by letting them know the many advantages of Curry County. What can the county do to reach out to businesses?
First, they need a travel policy. They need to be able to get in their vehicles and go out and meet people. Let's just take a very simple example. If I were elected as a county commissioner, I, along with our other county commissioners and our volunteer staff, would like to either go physically to or work on an advertising campaign in Northern California to bring jobs here. I don't know how many people in Northern California don't realize the tax advantages that Southern Oregon has for them. Most small businesses now are set up as LLCs. California taxes your business as an LLC, and then they tax you personally again for business income on top of it, not to mention the differences in rent and utilities. It's a substantial savings to small businesses that are already on a tight budget. It might make it worthwhile for them to come here. One of the biggest issues that Curry County faces, though, is housing. Housing for people to come here and for new business. I was in conversation with someone a month or so ago about bringing a very clean job source here, 40 to 50 people over a period of 3 years. And the reason they did not select Southern Oregon was because of housing issues.
You mentioned that the county needed a travel policy. Imagine that you're asked by several Curry voters to make a policy limiting the budget for county commissioner travel. How would you react to this request?
I think it's necessary. I think we do need a budget for travel, but you have to have a reasonable budget. You know, do I think that a commissioner should be allowed to get in a car and go do his personal business in a county car on county business time and go stay in hotels and restaurants on the county time and budget? No, I don't. Do I think when the Chetco Bar fire happens and a commissioner should be on that fire every day, meeting with sheriffs and the firefighters to inform the county of what's happening? That budget should be extended at that point. But there should be a budget, and there should be an emergency procedure budget should we have a critical issue.
You're listening to KCIW LP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM. This is Bruin Radio Interviews with candidate for Curry County Commissioner Christopher Pash. Mr. Pash, borrowing money from the County Road Fund has been a topic of some controversy recently. What is your stance on borrowing from the Road Fund in Curry County?
I would say we need to be cautious about it, extremely cautious. We are, of course, a landslide or a large earthquake away from that road fund being gone. As we can see in Northern California, if you're on the 101, they redid most of that road through Arcata, north of Arcata, just a few years ago. and it's all collapsed in again. We can see up and down the coastal highway here, they're always having to fix and sometimes do major repairs to the highway. If some of that highway sloughs off, or cliff sloughs off into the ocean, and they have to rebuild, it's a week's worth of work to use $20 or $30 million. We have about $33 million, I believe, in the road fund right now. If we were to use that for something like it's been mentioned, there may be an emergency room or something here in Brookings, I would definitely want to look into that. It would have to be a short-term loan, and it would have to be AAA paper.
How do you feel the Checo bar fire situation was handled by the county?
Poorly. I don't think it was handled poorly by the county. I want to be very fair. I think it was handled. Some very poor decisions were made by the Forest Service. I would like to see the way fires are handled, a lot of our lands return to the state and the county. I don't think that fires in the Chetco Bar region and how they're dealt with should be, the final decision on those fires should be made by a man with the Forest Service that's never lived in this area. I don't know if you know, but myself and several other people, including Commissioner Boyce, have started an organization called Curry Wildfire Prevention. It is an organization that we are investing a lot of time in and resources to change the way that Curry County deals with fire. And we want to have a say at the table. And we can accomplish that. Under emergency procedures, the sheriff of this county can call for an emergency, and at that point the county commissioners and the sheriff can make the decision on how the fire is to be handled. David Brock Smith, your legislative representative for District 4, has fought and got through a 24/7 air tanker that will now be on standby for this county at all times. This organization is going to get some things done, and we are going to set, if I'm commissioner, we're going to, like the tsunami warnings are for the county, it's set in stone, basically. I would like to see the same kind of an emergency procedure set for fire. When a fire happens, the commissioners and the sheriff are notified immediately. At that time, they convene, and they make a decision with Coos Forest Protection, with local fire departments, with forestry people, and with the forestry department, on how that fire is going to be fought. But the final decision will not be made by a forestry man from Washington, D.C. It'll be made by boots on the ground men and women in this county that know the winds, that know the humidity here, and know how to fight the fires.
You said you started this organization with Commissioner Boyce, was it?
Yes. Well, there's several of us. And I don't want to say I started it. I got into it in its infancy. I think Commissioner Boyce had already started it with a gentleman, and I'm going to forget names, and if anyone's listening out there and forgot your name, I'm sorry, with a gentleman named Lee Riddle. Actually, Ted Fitzgerald was involved in it in the beginning. Larry Ismert, great forestry man here. Cam Newton. Gosh, I can't remember names. Al Stroh is another name. I can't remember anymore of the guy's names. Jerry Lynn Thompson is involved in it as well, who is also one of the candidates for commissioner. And it's just basically a grassroots organization that saw how the people of this county didn't seem to matter on the decisions that were made in that fire, and decided to step forward and say our voice will be heard, and we are working toward that right now. George Rhodes is another one who is a past commissioner, and Guy McMahon.
Given your connection and history, what kind of working relationship do you think you would have with Commissioner Court Boyce?
Actually, Court and I get along really well. I just had a meeting with him yesterday. We are actually, I'm very hopeful that we're going to win this, and we are actually already working to try and get a lot of things set in place so that down the road we can move forward quickly. But Court and I are good friends. We meet, I want to say, once or twice a week, have a meeting or two. The other day we met with Economic Development Group. Yesterday we went with a group that is trying to continue the some of the park service and the walking path that goes from Washington State all the way down through Oregon into California, to continue that and complete it. So there's a lot of things going on that we're already meeting about.
And what kind of relationship would you hope to have with Sue Gold?
Well, I actually ran against Sue in the last election, and Sue ran a great race. I have been a little bit critical of her on a couple of decisions she made on Sheriff's Ward's PERS money. But for the most part, I think Sue is she's well thought, and I think Sue and I can work together fine.
What other decisions has Commissioner Gold made that you may have concerns about?
I think my biggest concern was her lack of involvement in the wildfire. I watched Commissioner Boyce be extremely active. Some might say overactive. I didn't think so. But Mr. Huxley and Sue Gold were almost absent from it. And it bothered me that a county commissioner not only was not involved in the day-to-day activity surrounding that fire, but very rarely commented on it. And I would imagine that would have been something that I would have wanted to have been extremely involved in.
Obviously, the job of the commissioner can be very complicated and you have many decisions to make. What are three sources you look to for guidance on ethical questions?
Well, if you read my website, you'll know that I'm a Christian man. So I think that would be my biggest source that I would go to. But I also want to say, when I was a little kid, my mom used to always tell me, if you're going to do something and you think it might be wrong, it probably is wrong. If you're feeling guilty about it, it's probably wrong. So that's a matter of ethics. If you're doing things that you know are weighing on you, if there's guilt, if there's... I would probably say that you're probably ethically not doing the right thing.
Could you tell us about your education with Dean Witter Securities?
Well, Dean Witter, it's probably now called Morgan Stanley. It used to be Morgan Stanley, Dean Witter. I was very sick for a long time in my life and had to be in a cancer center for several years. And while I was in cancer centers, they shipped me to Sloan Kettering in New York. And I happened to I had to be there for about 3 years for the treatment process that I was going to go through. While I was there, I was bored. So I started doing some day trading, and I did pretty well at it. Well enough that while I was going through these day treatments at Sloan Kettering, the manager of the office that I was day trading through called me and asked me if I'd come in and interview with her. And I did, and I interviewed so high that they wanted to hire me immediately and immediately sent me down to the World Trade Center to start an education process with them. About a year and a half later, I had 5 securities licenses as well as an insurance and annuities license, and I was a senior broker for Morgan Stanley Dean Witter.
It sounds like a very lucrative job opportunity. Why would you leave this?
This particular manager had her own agenda. And I not only had my money invested in stocks in Dean Witter, Morgan Stanley Dean Witter, but I had friends of mine as well as clients that I had received by that time. And I was told one day to have 10% of my clients' portfolios in a particular stock by 4 o'clock. This was on a Monday morning. By 4 o'clock today, you'll have 10% of your clients' portfolios in this stock. I looked up the stock and I didn't like it. The manager, about 11 o'clock, came to my office and she said, "I see you haven't moved anyone into that stock yet." And I said, "No, I haven't. And I'm not going to. And I don't like the company." And she said, if you don't by 4 o'clock, you can pack your bags. And I said, I don't have to wait till 4 o'clock. I'll have my resignation to you in about 10 minutes.
Do you believe such ethical decisions as this can relate to the decisions you may or may not have to make as Curry County Commissioner?
I absolutely do. Like I've said to many people in the county, and what I've said to you today, I will not lie, and I cannot be bought. What I say I mean, and what I say I will do, I will go to the wall to do.
In terms of ethics and running for commissioner, in a February 2018 letter to the Pilot, a Bonnie Pash wrote that she had read comments about her husband, Christopher Pash, yourself, on social media from someone questioning his motives for giving to his community and his run for Curry County Commissioner. What kind of comments on social media is the writer referring to?
All right, so what happened was John Ward and John Bishop had made comments on my website saying that I was that I had done a lot of work for the Sheriff's Department without ever asking for anything in return. And people in social media took that wrong. That was basically it. Yeah. My wife actually wrote a letter to the Pilot. I don't know if you guys saw it.
They had it here, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. I believe it was this letter.
Yeah, that's it.
I was going to ask you a follow-up question about the event you described in letter, if you wanted to address this.
Yeah. All right. So for our listeners, read the part referring to, and then ask. And then wait for your guest to remove this.
No. The letter your wife wrote to the editor describes an incident in which you and her were traveling to Portland and, quote, stopped in Woodburn for lunch. As we left our car, there were people standing in the parking lot pointing to a car needing help. We could hear a woman screaming. Chris, immediately without even knowing what it was, ran across the parking lot to the car. I soon saw him pulling a woman to safety from inside the car. He then ran to the other side of the car and removed a male from the driver's side and held him until the sheriff's department arrived and took over. They escorted her to a safe place near me while arresting the man and placing him in a patrol car. The woman's words to us as she lay on the ground safe, but bruised and crying, were, "This time he was going to kill me." I know of two other times Chris has done something similar. I judge a man by his actions, not by empty words. Bonnie Pash, Gold Beach. Could you tell us about this event?
It's pretty self-explanatory. We just drove up on a man that was beating his wife and literally choking her in the front seat of a car. And when I ran up in the car, she was pretty much blue, and he was still punching her and choking her. And I just luckily hit her seatbelt to get it unclipped and drug her out of the car right away. And I just held him until the police arrived.
Mr. Pash, to switch gears, how much or how little would you be willing to be paid as a commissioner?
Good question. I think the commissioner's pay is already set, so I think I'm willing to accept what the commissioner's pay, what it's already set at. That's fine.
Can you tell us about your work with the board of the Gold Beach Wedderburn Rural Fire Protection District?
I was actually elected to that in the last election, and it's basically to look at the entire area and how it's protected and can we make improvements and changes in it. The problem with the Wedderburn area is if we were to lose the Gold Beach Bridge, we would have no fire suppression on the north side without someone coming from Port Orford or Ophir. Cedar Bend, but that would be a lengthy wait. So we are looking right now, I'm actually looking at donating some of my property, some of my ranch. The old city water well is on my ranch, and we're thinking of donating the land that the well resides on and another piece of land there with it to build a housing unit, basically to house two or three engines for water suppression on the north side of the bridge.
I have a question. You've worked with your foundation and helping troubled youths. You've had your auto shop. You've been a stockbroker and a day trader. You've served in the Marine Corps and you've started fire protection for the county, and now you're running for county commissioner. Mr. Pasher, are you the most interesting man in the world?
No, I'm not, but I will say that that is a great answer to your earlier question, what makes me qualified. And I think I answered you, my life's work is what makes me qualified. What I've done throughout my life is to try and do the right things. And I've been in business. I've run my racing business, employed 15 or more employees for 20 some odd years. I've got financial experience. I've got good business sense. I have the passion to work with our kids and families and homes and youth. And it doesn't make me the most interesting man in the world, but it makes me a good candidate, I think.
You have told us a lot about how you would help the county should you win this election. But how would you help the county and continue your work in your foundations and such should you lose this election?
Well, I think everything else remains status quo. I've actually learned some things since running for this position that I think would help me in the foundation now. I've met some people and gathered some relationships with some people and a couple of new organizations that I think will benefit us as well as us benefit them should I not win the election.
How difficult was it for you to start your campaign?
Wasn't difficult at all.
Just print up a couple.
Got in the car one day and said, "Here we go." Actually, that's what I did. I went on Facebook and said, "Here we go." I filed and it's on. You know, campaigning in a county like this is not. It's not like if you were going to go for Congress or something like that. It's not this driving force. Do I think about it every day? Yes, because actually, right now I'm attending at least two or three meetings a day and meeting new people. We just had another great meeting, which you guys might want to get involved in at one point. We had a town hall last night of about 45 people in Harbor, and it was wonderful. We just sat up there and answered questions, and it was really neat.
Earlier you mentioned the county government has lost several talented employees. Who are you referring to?
Well, I think we've, through budget cuts, there's been some people lost, but I think Mr. Weeks was a talented man personally. As we all know, sheriff's deputies, as I've stated earlier, because of the pay differences here, are easily taken from the Curry County Sheriff's Department, and we've lost some really good deputies. We've lost our economic development department, which, again, these are the kind of people in this county that we absolutely need to make this a thriving community.
You mentioned earlier that the Dreams, Hope, and Faith Foundation doesn't necessarily get a lot of donations. Why do you think that is, and how do you run the foundation without those donations?
Well, when my wife and I retired, we were financially capable of buying the ranch and funding it ourselves. Over the years, it's become a little bit more burdensome for us to run it, so we have started to ask for donations and found it very difficult in a small community to raise money for foundations. I'm not picking, but I will say that I think it's easier to raise money for pets in most counties than it is to raise money for a children's foundation. I don't know why. It's just a very difficult area that for people to give to. For a foundation that's been established so many years.
How do you publicize your foundation?
Basically through the website. We have a website, dreamshopeandfaith.com. We also have sister foundations that work through us and publicize. A lot of it's word of mouth through the schools. We have good relationships with most of the principals and academic leaders of the schools around. So it's probably more word of mouth on the ground than it is anything else.
Mr. Pasch, could you give us kind of a final statement, a closing word for our listeners?
I think the biggest thing I want the listeners to know is how important this election is. I attended a meeting with David Brock Smith a couple of weeks ago, and he said something pretty frightening to me. and that is we are one seat in the House and one seat in the Senate from a supermajority in the state of Oregon. Meaning that basically the gist of Curry County will have no voice in the way the county's run. If the county was to go insolvent, this isn't an absolute that it will happen, but the governor will probably step in, as she did last week, send a letter to the commissioners on how they're running the county. The governor would probably step in, and probably the first two things she will do, is to take the road fund, and then she will determine how much money is owed in the county and what the annual budget needs to be, and raise homeowners' property taxes to meet that burden. There are some things in the county that need to be taken care of, and they need to be taken care of immediately. We're not going to get things back in order in one swift move. It's going to be a lot of little things that bring the county back together. And you've got to have some commissioners in there that get along, can work together, and get things done. And you've got to have commissioners in there that are willing to listen to citizens of this county, to the state and local governments, and are willing to make the best decisions necessary to make this a thriving community again. The harbor down here could be potentially a thriving harbor, but it sits mostly quiet and dormant. This beach out here is a gold mine. It's a wonderful place that when people come here, they should want to spend weeks here, not hours. When I hear that 48% of the people that go on rogue jets within 2 hours of getting off the boat are out of the county, it saddens me that we don't have enough things here in this county to keep them. We need some people to run this county that care for the county and want to do the work.
Mr. Pash, thank you for coming. This is McLean Westbrook and
Gage Westbrook
for Bruin Radio, and we have been interviewing candidate for Curry County Commissioner Christopher Pash.
Thank you.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
You've just listened to an episode of Bruin Radio Interviews, an hour-long interview show brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.